观众朋友您好，又到了您会焦点的节目时间了。在这次节目中，我们将继续和您探讨西方法轮功学员到北京天安门广场和平请愿这个话题。今天呢，我们请到了来自佛罗里达州奥兰多的 Court Pierman 和我们谈一谈他的经历。 Hello Court.
Hello.
Can you let us know how did you gain Falun Dafa?
It was being persecuted in China.
Oh. And
so we said, you know, the communists are trying so hard to take this away. You know, there's got to be something good, because we knew what the Chinese government was like.
Okay.
You know, we knew their history, and that they were against personal empowerment, and that it had to be something powerful if they want to take it away. So we went to go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he went first, and he's like, it was great. So I went with him the next day, and we went back four times that week, and we were learning the exercises pretty well, and we bought Zuan Falun, and we read it by the next week, and I mean, just right then, we were like, we're practitioners, and we fell in love with the practice right away.
After you practice Falun Dafa, what kind of difference do you feel in your life?
Since I started practicing, I had a lot of issues with anger, and I had a whole lot inside of me, and it would really tear me up. Like, sometimes I'd come home and I'd be so frustrated, I'd slam doors around, and I really had a lot of pride in how well I could curse somebody out. Like, I really, when I got mad at them, I yelled and screamed at them, and I was very good at it. And because I was a writer, you know, I felt that I was fairly clever, and I'd come up with some good ones, and that's where I got my pleasure from, really, was from having had a justification in my day for hurting another human being and doing it well. And as soon as Falun Dafa started, I read the teachings of Li Hongzhi, and I started to realize, like, right away, I was like, okay, thanks for straightening me out, because I've always been looking for a reason to give up these bad habits of mine, including drinking and smoking and the whole lot. I mean, that's what I did. I was in college. I like to gain popularity, I like to compete with other students, and I like to smoke and drink on the weekends and things like that. And I had all these bad habits, and I didn't think that there was a reason out there for me to stop.
Okay.
As I said, sometime in my life I will, but you know, I just don't see a reason, and right now I'm young, I might as well indulge myself. But right away, I mean, that was the easy stuff. I gave that up right away. I was like, okay, I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking. And the thing about it was, I mean, I just let it go. And it's not like I wake up every day, you know, hurting mentally for a drink, and I'm reaching for the bottle and I have to slap my hand. It's not like that. It's just I sat down and I meditated, and all my desires for these bad habits just left. And so those were some of the biggest improvements that people saw in me. My friends, a lot of my friends weren't too happy about it. My family was really happy about it.
Mm-hmm. So I can see that you got a lot of benefit from practicing Falun Gong, and currently in U.S., you're free. You have the right to practice Falun Gong. Why do you want to go to China?
Well, I went for many, many reasons, and one of the reasons was, just as you said, I mean, I've received so much. The benefits that I just told you about are so small, like the benefits inside of me that I can't voice to the people right now, because they mean so much to me. Falun Dafa is what I've been looking for my whole life, and I know that. I knew when I found it. I had studied in my old room. You'd go in there, and I had candles with all of the Catholic saints. I had Hare Krishna on the wall. I had Buddhist books. I had Hindu books. I had read theories on enlightenment and what enlightenment was, and it sounded, you know, great, but really all that I could find were things that made my mind think a little bit, but nothing really tapped my heart and enabled me to lift my mind to higher realms like Falun Gong. So I know how precious it is, and I know just this past late December, around the New Year here in Florida, well, I guess it wouldn't be here, but in Florida where I live, we had a national Falun Gong Experience Share Conference. And going to that, I I got to see all the people that mean so much to me, all the Falun Gong practitioners again. Mm-hmm. And I got to see them there, and they had their little children, and the little children were running around and chasing each other and playing, and all the family, everybody's so happy to see each other. There's nothing but goodwill. It was the largest audience that I had ever spoken to. I shared my experience, and I walked out on the stage with not an ounce of fear. Everybody there welcomed me. Everybody is happy to hear from me. I'm happy to hear from everybody else. And just the energy that you experience from being in the presence of, you know, hundreds of people doing the exercises together, mm-hmm. is something that can't be described. It can only be experienced. So that reminded me right then. I was like, this is what Falun Dafa is. This is why I'm here. This is what gives me my pleasure in life. So there was some practitioners who said, we're going to Tiananmen. And they asked me if I wanted to go, and I said yes. And I said, most definitely, I will go. I want all the people who practice Falun Gong, because every one of them is special in my heart. Every practitioner I meet gives me something. They're so precious. And I know that the ones in China, that they suffer so much. And a lot of them are doing it just to bring the practice out to others. And I go there with not as much risk as those noble people come out with. And I feel it is my obligation and my duty to make sure that the practice can thrive once again. And I know that it will thrive once again in China.
So what happened to you in China?
Everything started at a little bit before 2 p.m. On Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2002. And as we went under the tunnels, some military people, they saw us, and their walkie-talkies were going off, and you know, and it tries all these sounds, like they try to shake you. Everything about them is made for intimidation, mm-hmm. and it tries to shake you. And we just walked right past these women in uniform. They stepped out and they asked us for our passports, and the man I was with, Chris Jurek, he said no, and just walked. And I just walked right behind them, uh-huh. and we saw the van start with their motors running. They just went ahead and they took off, and they were going after other practitioners, and we heard commotion in different spots on the square. So Corey, he decided to go ahead and call it, and him and my brother were going to share a big banner, and he pulled it out. And he got it up, and the police were on him and tackled him. And I didn't even, I mean, I just screamed, Falun Dafa Hao, Falun Dafa Hao. And I just took off running. And I mean, I've never run so fast in my life. I had all these police behind me, and I was screaming, Falun Dafa Hao, Falun Dafa Hao.
And you hold the banner in your hand?
And I had it, well, I pulled it out, I had it in my pocket. I pulled it out like this, and I couldn't display it. But everybody knew what the yellow thing I was trailing behind me was.
What
is on
that?
It said Falun Dafa Hao.
In Chinese?
In Chinese, yes. And finally somebody got the back of my leg and went into the concrete, and went down to the ground, and they were on top of me, and I went down pretty close to a van, so they just picked me up and got me into the van right away. And then somebody kneeled on my head, and we went to the police station. I told them, Shan Yo Shan Bao, Oh Yo Oh Bao, and over and over again, When one of them would get separated long enough for a few practitioners to talk to them, you might see some of the information get through. I know when some of the girls would sing a song called Durdu, mm-hmm. that they would just cry. Especially some of the younger ones, they would cry. That's why we went there. We didn't go there to make enemies of the state. We didn't go there to make personal enemies. We didn't go there to point the finger at anybody. Mm-hmm. All we said was, knowingly or unknowingly, you're taking part in something very horrible, that men, women, the elderly, children, everybody's being persecuted, everybody's being hurt. Your country's being hurt. One of the Germans there, he pulled out of his wallet, he had pictures of practitioners practicing in front of the UN in uh-huh. Geneva, and in Switzerland, and in Australia. And he passed them out, and they all came around, and they were all looking at it and soaking it up. Anytime they saw us do the exercises, I mean, they were watching us like we were a movie. You know, they were completely sucked into what we were doing. they hadn't seen anything like that. You know, they don't even, most of them you don't even know, like, you know, why do you guys hate falling off? We don't know. We just, they told us it's wrong. We have to, you know, we have to do our jobs.
All right, so after this extraordinary experience, so what do you feel most important to you next for you to do?
Next important for me is to make sure that the Westerners in my own country start waking up to it, because there's a lot of people that know, but the Chinese propaganda has leaked over here too, and so they're on both sides. A lot of people don't know how to take Falun Gong. I want them to wake up and to understand the severity of the situation, because people, they don't understand how severe it is. They don't see a lot of the similarities, like. There's differences too, but there's a lot of similarities between what's happening now and what happened in Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the most evil. It's happening again. That's all I can say is we all say we don't want it to happen again. It's happening again. Why do we make movies like Schindler's List here in America? Why do we keep watching all these old movies on the Holocaust? Why do they preserve in Germany all these gas chambers and things that you can go visit? They just say, this is atrocious. We don't ever want this to happen again. Well, it is. And it's not happening in Europe. It's happening in China. And that's a big deal, because 1 out of 5 of the world's people is Chinese. They've got the largest military in the world. And for all these people to be brainwashed and to not believe in truth, compassion, and tolerance, that's a threat to America. It's a threat to freedom. It's a threat to the entire world. And people need to start waking up to this and to realize what's going on. That there's no mercy. It's babies, old people, 70-year-old men making carry things that I can't carry back and forth until they fall down, and then they string them up by their hands. People die with their eyes open. People, I mean, it's the same pictures that we've been looking at for so long. Look at this book. Look at how atrocious. This is what war is. This is why we don't want war. It's never the people with uniforms and guns that we say this is what war is. It's when it happens at the homes, and when you see the people, the families that are broken up, and the places that used to do business that are burnt out bombshells. This is what's going to happen in China. It can't go on like this. You can't persecute the innocent without retribution. And I don't want to see that happen to China. And that's what I went there to try to prevent. I asked the Chinese people, please open your eyes. I said that to so many police. I said, you have to open your eyes, because you're out there and you can see the details. Please just put it together. You don't have to believe me now. Don't take my word on it. Just put it together for yourself. Keep your eyes open.
Thank you very much. Very well said.
Thank you.
观众朋友，听了 Court 的话，我不知道您是怎么想的。但是这些年轻人为了真善人而走到中国去，向中国人民说一声法轮大法好，我想值得所有中国人重新思考一下他们对法轮功的态度。今天由于时间的关系，我们的采访就到此结束。下次明慧焦点时间与您再见，谢谢。